This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
All right, hello and welcome back. I actually feel pretty good today, which is a pretty good feeling. I'm sure you've been listening. Everybody listening to this point, I can't believe we're picking up a lot of new listeners today. But just to make sure that everybody's caught up, had a little accident in my home, cracked my head, cut my head, got a concussion. So what's it been? 2 weeks today. I'm not 100%. I got a doctor's appointment later today with a concussion specialist just to check out a couple of things. But otherwise, I'm feeling pretty good. While I'm at it, let me give a couple of special thanks here. There were so many emails that poured in, and I'll tell you, it was very motivating for me. It was very encouraging. And, of course, everybody wants to feel valued and liked and wanted and all those things, especially when your head's bleeding, stuff like that. But there was a bunch of people that I heard from. A couple of things I want to mention. Tim from Indiana, who's been a contributor to the podcast quite often, was kind enough to send me an audio message knowing that I was having trouble reading the emails, which was really cool, and it really made my day. Our good friend Dan has been staying in close touch. Of course, our friend Chris out in Oregon, who lives a great life out there. I guess I'll skip the details for privacy purposes. But, yeah, I think I may have to move out there. Maybe I'll go work for him or something like that. It's starting to look pretty attractive. Beth, Katie, Jason, Dylan, Jeff, Andy, good to hear from you. Josette, Alan, Kevin, many others as well. Let's see here. It's hard for me to put them all the emails together. I don't know. I'm sure I missed a bunch of people there, but thank you, everybody who took the time to reach out to me. It meant a lot. It keeps me motivated for sure. You know, I'm a little addicted to doing the podcast. I pretty much planned on taking this week off, and I'm feeling pretty good, so there's really no reason not to do it. But I'm not doing it because I have to. There's actually no reason why I need to be doing this. I'm doing it purely because I want to do it. I enjoy doing it. I love doing it, actually. I don't know. I love talking. I love hearing myself talk. I don't know what it is. Egotistical maniac. What's all the things they called Trump? I don't know. Maybe I'm in the same category. But I got a good podcast for you today. Let me give you a little rundown of the lineup here. I want to talk about this issue with China and the market dominance and the global economy a little bit and what that means in practical terms. So we'll dig into that a little bit. Did you catch yesterday's podcast? We're still the United States of America, a prepared statement mostly, something I put a little thought into, something that was on my mind. And something that I think we're going to have to visit again, but not today. In the meantime, I would like to hear your thoughts on that. I thought it was a pretty positive message, and I'm anxious to hear what the listeners thought. I haven't heard anything back on it yet, so we'll see what happens there. What do we want to talk about today? The Pentagon is keeping its ban on the Pride flags and other flags at installations from NPR. We'll talk about that. It's going to tie in nicely with the China story, believe me. Boy, I'll tell you, it's amazing. In a lawsuit that filed by Planned Parenthood in Texas that they lost, a bit of an interesting story there I want to go into. Not so much about the abortion issue, but about the impact on local laws and what the judge ruled there. Number of children with celiac disease doubled over the past 25 years. Interesting story there. We'll talk about that and diet a little bit. I feel lucky that I've been able to heal so quickly. I think that by being in such good shape, having my nutrition dialed in, it helped me in that case. So I was in a good spot as far as that's concerned. I want to talk about long-haul COVID patients. Wendy French of Northwest Suburban Lake in the Hills used to run 10 miles a day before she caught COVID, which left her fatigued and suffering from a variety of symptoms for months after the virus was supposedly gone. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit, what my thoughts on that are. Jails were empty during the pandemic. Some people say they should stay that way. That's from Associated Press. A generation of seabirds was wiped out by a drone. I have a drone. I haven't used it because I haven't figured out how to fly it yet. I was actually thinking about buying another one. I saw a nice drone. It had limited fly time for like $50 from Harbor Freight, no less. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this, by the way. I like to throw this stuff out there once in a while. I think people appreciate it. But if you're a worker like I am, if you like to do things like I do, you believe that work is a good thing. What's the word I'm looking for? Still having like some memory issues, more, you know, more getting thrown off more than normal. What's the word I'm looking for? A virtue. A virtue. Is work a virtue? I think it is. I think we need more people to work. I think we should start putting kids back to work at age 14. Not full time. I'm not talking about slave labor. But remember when kids used to go around and cut grass and babysit and do things and work in fast food restaurants? All that changed. We need the help. Badly. I will talk about it maybe. I know that's not going to be a popular one. Google got fined $268 million in France. Going to make some changes to their advertising platform. I'll try and get into that a little bit. We'll see if we have time. We got a lot to burn through here today. Interesting stuff worth paying attention to. Let's talk about the China thing a little bit. I was watching an interesting video on fee.org. I don't watch TV. I don't go on social media. I don't have any social media accounts. As a matter of fact, more than likely I'm going to turn off my YouTube as well. It's just, I can't support it. I really can't. And I'll move on. That's all, which is what my recommendation. Just say no to the things that we don't support. And magically, like all the outrage over social media, the news reporting on social media, I read a little bit about it. I'm like, it doesn't really affect me. I'm not getting any social media outrage at all. I'm getting a little outrage about my tax bills. But other than that, I don't know. So let's talk about China a little bit. I'm watching this video on fee.org, and they did a really nice job of explaining the Chinese impact on American entertainment. And they also did a really good job of explaining it from both sides. I thought it was very fairly done. Available on YouTube, which is kind of amazing given the Chinese influence. I guess not as much over Google. Apple in a big way. Speaking of Apple, and given that we get most of our downloads on Apple Podcasts, which is a crying shame, Overcast is a much better app. And, you know, I know most of you listen to podcasts every day because you listen to mine every day. I'm telling you, Overcast is a better app. Go to App Store and get Overcast. It's available for iOS and Android. And I'm probably going to switch away from Apple, despite, you know, always thankful Apple did what they did with the podcast. But, you know, Apple doesn't host it. They don't do anything. And they've been huge supporters of the Chinese government. And I don't want to support that. So let's talk this through a little bit. The issue here is that China has a big market, huge, right? Not only a big market, but basically a big untapped market, huge emerging market, right? You got, you know, over a billion, was it 1.2 billion people in China, something like that? 1.2 billion people, most of them living way below American means, financially speaking. So American companies just see China as this untapped market, crazy open market, a big way for them to make money, drum up profits, fill their pockets, make the shareholders happy. And, you know, some of these things are important. They, you know, if you talk to these companies, they would tell you the importance of relying on this global trade and what it does for America. Well, what it does for America isn't all good either. But the bottom line is, as is normal in a global competitive market, business owners, shareholders here, they want that market. I mean, we're the ones driving it. Like China didn't invite Apple over there. China isn't inviting Facebook over there. China, you know, they're the ones going over there trying to convince them to deal with America. They don't want to do it. Bottom line is this. China is growing, and I'm talking about the population, and we're not. We're going the other way. Not only is our population not growing, but, you know, I just saw an article that for the first time ever that young millennials are not nearly the worth that their parents had, that there's going to be this massive decline in quality of life. Very interesting. Well, whatever. I don't get off the point. China's growing. We're not. They're competitive, just like we are. And, you know, I think all that's natural and fine to some degree, and I guess good, the competitiveness. By the way, the whole China market was opened up mainly by Nixon when he cut the deal with China. Republican, Nixon, right? I don't know. All these things. I want to talk more about that, but let me get through this first. The problem as I see it isn't so much the global competitiveness, but it's the Chinese government control over everything. However, when you look at what's happened in Europe, and when I get to this one, I get to the Google lawsuit in France, but look at what these are global companies, Google, American company, causing problems over there in Europe. The Europeans aren't too happy. Rightly so. I've been complaining about these same things here. So for Europe, where they've had this open market, this trade with the United States, and haven't, you know, had the same protections as China. And if I'm looking at it from China's perspective, I'm like, there's no way I'm letting that crap in this country. Matter of fact, I'd be in favor of banning it here based on everything that's gone on. It's been purely evil. Facebook, the social media, done nothing but tear this country apart. Worse than drugs, in my opinion. But let me tell you this little story. One of a million. Did you know that there were fans here in America ejected from NBA games for wearing pro-Hong Kong t-shirts? And the problem is that basketball is very popular in China, apparently pumping a lot of money into the NBA. The NBA is sold out, and you can't have in China that they're showing all these pro-Hong Kong t-shirts, and the people watching in China go, what's going on in Hong Kong? And by the way, an interesting story that the Chinese, in re-annexing Hong Kong or whatever they did there, cracking down on Hong Kong, basically, you know, I think the population of Hong Kong, 14 million or something, it might be more than that. Most densely populated city on the planet. More, I might not be saying that right. A lot of people there packed in a tight area. And it's millions of people that have gotten a taste of freedom, waving American flags, singing the American national anthem. Freedom is not dead, my friends, not here, not abroad. But what the Chinese government did by interfering in that, whether directly or indirectly, you basically had a situation where the Chinese government ordering Americans out of a sporting event here in America because they didn't like what people were wearing. Now, I don't recall a time when America was ever doing something like that. Not that we haven't done plenty of dirty deeds and this and that. But there's always been a certain level of freedom. At least there was. It seems to be changing quickly. But let me just ask you something. When you look at what's going on in Hong Kong, what the people want there, just to be able to speak their opinions. Boy, is that a crime, right? And then that you're going to have all these people participating, security, the NBA, the executives, the players, going on, having these people carried out, people that needed our help, people we should be helping, in my opinion, treated this way. And all the people at that sporting event, the employees, the companies, the NBA, all the things involved, maybe the police, I don't know, all here in America, enforcing the demands of the Chinese government, basically. They said, well, the NBA has the right to control what goes on in their games. You could go in there with a gay pride flag on your back. You could go in there with a F. Trump shirt on. You could go in there with a lot of things. But suddenly pro-Hong Kong making a political statement, no, no, no. What's next? They're not going to allow the American flag? Is this the real reason for Black Lives Matter, the fake front, wanting to disrupt the national anthem at sporting events? It's not good for the Chinese government. I don't know. I'm just putting the stories together. But when you look at that whole thing, you got to ask yourself, who's morally depleted in all that? Is it the Chinese government specifically? Is it the NBA, or is it the Americans that keep supporting the NBA? Which, you know, is something that bothers me the most. Which brings up another big question for me. Why didn't Trump do more to help Hong Kong? You know, when I look at that issue, when I look at the massive debts that were run up under Trump, the lack of restoration of states' rights, these things make me wonder a little bit about Trump's way of thinking. And looking at some of the results that we got, didn't seem to be a commitment to some of the things that I think are important to properly running a free society, managing a government that serves a free society. So listen to this headline. This is from NPR. You're paying for this. National Public Radio. What, I had a little acronym, National Propaganda something. But this tying back in with the usual Chinese censoring freedom of speech and the propaganda. What the hell do you call this? The Pentagon is keeping its ban on the pride flag. and other flags and installations. So here's the thing. You can't fly any flags in military installations. And I'm going to say that that's a good idea. All right? You know, do we really want the entrances to our military installations politicized? Not even politicized. What do you call this? Wokeized? Groupthinkized? I don't know. Making an exception for the rainbow pride flag would leave the Pentagon open for additional policy changes, challenges down the road. This was really more about the potential for an exception in this case, about the potential for other challenges that could arise from that exception. So what happens? They try to do this shame thing. In 2018, listen to this, the RAND Corporation estimated that 6% of active duty personnel members identified as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, including 4% of women, men, and 17% of women. Interesting, right? So what, that means they're going to fly the pride flag? What's next? How about just the American flag? It's an American military institution. Seems like it makes sense to me. But the real point I wanted to make about this, listen to how the headline is phrased. Are you picking up on that? This is a, yes, of course the Pentagon is keeping its ban on the pride flags because it doesn't allow any flag. There's a ban on the pride flag. There's a ban on any flag besides the American flag at a military institution, as it should be, wouldn't you agree? As it should be at every government installation, in my opinion. Why are we hanging the pride flag around? All it's doing to serve, in my opinion, is to create more division amongst us. Where's the heterosexual flag? Where's the proud to be a white dad flag? How about if we start that? How much more divisive do we need to be? You know, we keep saying this, look, you want to be gay? Be gay. I really don't care. One iota. As long as you're happy, I'm happy for you. If two consenting adults want to do what they want to do, I'm not going to be the one to stop you, man. You know, but when you start talking about kids and you're going to keep waving it in my face, you know, all it's doing is to serve is to create anger and hostility. Maybe it does create some unity and support, but it creates a lot of hostility and anger in the meantime. And, you know, since when do we celebrate our sexual preferences at the entrances to military installations? I mean, where does it end? If we're going to, in the interest of fairness, I know it's going to sound absurd, but in the age of absurdity, I don't know how absurd it is. So, you know, we use the example of pedophilia. People, yeah, you're crossing a line. You know, where is the line? I'm not really sure. Why don't we just keep it all private like it's supposed to be? How about that? This is my thought. I don't think we should be waving around these flags on government institutions. I think it should be the American flag only. What do you think about that? All right, so Planned Parenthood sued Texas, a town in Texas. Texas. Allergies are killing me. I don't know if you're having a problem with your allergies. I was out working in the yard last night and working in the garden a little bit. The tomato plants are looking good. I had a tomato sandwich the other day. You guys like tomato sandwiches? If you're not from Philly and around New Jersey, I don't know if you know what a tomato sandwich is, do you? People don't know. Oh, my goodness, it's phenomenal. I like it to do it two different ways. First of all, white toast, in my opinion. You could do white bread. We get it's a very low carbohydrate white bread. I'm really happy with it, actually. Very low glycemic index, so it's pretty healthy. And I don't eat a lot of bread in general, but when I do, I use this bread. And on a tomato sandwich, you kind of need the bread to make it a tomato sandwich. And so we put this, put the bread, I toast them now. I don't eat it without being toasted, but you could. And then I'll either slice the tomato real thick or I'll do thin slices and kind of layer it like a sandwich, put a little salt and pepper, mayo on the toast or the bread. And that's it. Mayonnaise, tomato, salt and pepper on white bread or white toast now. I just prefer toast sometimes. It was phenomenal. So I'm anxious to grow some of my own. I started the plants way early and they took forever to take. This is like a late start this year. And then as hot as Hades here. Ah, crazy problems. All right, where were we here? I got totally distracted. What made me even bring that up? I don't know. I'm losing my mind with this concussion. Planned Parenthood sues the town of Lubbock. Lubbock, I think, is how you say that in Texas. Not that it matters. And the law that they enacted was a sanctuary city for the unborn, a ban on abortion inside town limits. So Planned Parenthood sued the city for that. And the lawsuit got dismissed. Now, I'm not familiar with Texas state law. Maybe you are. You can feel free to email me some information about this. According to Judge James Hendricks of the U.S. District Court of the Western District of Texas, the case is not able to be adjudicated since Planned Parenthood lacks standing to sue the city. Furthermore, court precedent and state law both appear to allow the ban. However, Hendricks wrote that certain elements of the case may still be resolved in another court. Yeah, federal court is where that's going. Because of the way it was crafted, the ban bucks the typical process of lawsuits between abortion providers and governments that have dominated American abortion jurisprudence in cases like Planned Parenthood and other places in Texas. The sanctuary ordinance of Lubbock adopted uses private lawsuits for enforcement. And an aborted child's living kin can sue anybody that performed or aided the child's abortion other than the mother for compensatory or punitive damages. This is going to get ruled unconstitutional, in my opinion. In addition, any private citizen can bring an action for injunctive relief or statutory damages against violators. No government employee can sue, and the city cannot punish violators before meeting certain legal thresholds. For example, the U.S. Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade and other binding jurisprudence, thus undercutting Planned Parenthood's standing to sue. Meaning, in other words, Planned Parenthood lacks standing since the court cannot remedy the injury that the organization claims it has suffered. This is a key legal element with lawsuits, that where there's no damage, that there's no case, basically. I think there's more to it than that. But what's interesting to me about this is that pretty much contrary, I'm not going to say in violation of state and federal law, but contrary to state and federal law, you have a municipality that's enacting this law. And I think that's a dangerous precedent. I also want to add to that, that a lot of what you hear going on in the national media is local people complaining about issues in their communities that have long been ignored. Injustices because of some kind of draconian legal systems that we have, quite frankly. Pennsylvania is awful with this. We're a keystone state, a commonwealth, a home rule state. And basically what that means is that the municipalities run themselves. It's not all bad, but they wield a lot of power. And for the little guy, it can be very difficult to deal with these things. And there's nobody really to help. It's not big enough to attract national attention, not at the state level to attract attention there. And so you have these injustices that get occurred at the local level, and nothing gets done about it. Let's see. I want to talk about this gluten thing. How are we at time-wise here? Man, time's flying. We're having a good time, right? We'll talk about the gluten. Maybe we'll do that last. Let's do that. Let's talk about the COVID thing a second. I was having a good conversation about this the other day. Many long-haul COVID-19 patients report improvement after the vaccination, surprising experts. And they have this lady, Wendy French, of Northwest Suburban Lake in the Hills. This is outside of Chicago. Used to run 10 miles a day several times a week before she caught COVID-19 in September, which left her fatigued and suffering from a variety of symptoms for months after the virus was supposedly gone. Maybe she was tired from all that running. So here you have this lady. This is like the previously healthy 45-year-old stopped running and even began dreading typical household chores such as doing laundry because it required standing up for so long that she grew tired. But after French got her first dose of the Pfizer vaccine in mid-April, she described feeling healthy for the first time in more than 7 months. The second dose in May brought even greater... Get the hell out of here. Let me tell you my theory on this. Number one, I don't believe any of it, which is really the biggest problem. There's so much disinformation, so much propaganda, so much confusion that you may have bona fide health issues, bona fide concerns, and you can't get reliable information, you can't get help on it. Personally, I've always been very skeptical of the long haulers, and I'm very skeptical of a 45-year-old from Lake Hills outside of Chicago named Wendy French, appearing on the front page of an article in the Chicago Tribune like it's some kind of special story. What'd she do, call the paper? Oh, by the way, I'm a long hauler and I feel better now. Somehow, it's odd the way this stuff comes together. You know, maybe somebody knew somebody, who knows how it all came together. I don't know how these things happen. But it all seems fake as anything to me. It just doesn't seem very reliable. Wendy French, okay, some obscure place outside of Chicago, whatever. What does it have to do with the story? So one goofy lady, I don't know if she's goofy or not, I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody. She likes to run, so she's healthy, good for her. And suddenly the vaccine cures the illness? When the hell's that ever happened? Well, I can't think of the name. The novel coronavirus. Yeah, it's like magical. Yeah, you know what? The next thing you know, you're going to get the vaccine and you're going to have aliens shooting out of your butt. That's how novel it is. Get out of here. I don't know how anybody believes this stuff. All right, so I got a little carried away. I know. I'm trying to be more professional, a little relaxed, trying to keep my blood pressure down. There's only so much I can take. Jails emptied in the pandemic. Should they stay that way? No. It was the stupidest thing we ever did. Listen to this. It wasn't long after Matthew Reed shoplifted a $63 set of sheets from a Target in upstate New York that the coronavirus brought the world to a standstill. So what they're trying to make here is the case that Matthew Reed, poor little guy, all he did was a little $63 theft, and then he was going to go to jail, but instead he went home, and that was good. No, it's not good. You don't think that shoplifting is an epidemic? How much more do we need to do to create a culture of everything's supposed to be free? They're just going to turn it. You can do drugs if you want. You can steal our stuff if you want. There's no property, right? I mean, just do whatever you want. Don't respect anything. Don't respect anybody. Don't respect anybody's property. And this is what's been happening. I mean, every day there's new stories, and they just get more and more ridiculous. I think it was in Texas, a six-year-old shot. He was in the mother with his car, shot in a road rage incident. I don't know what happened to cause a road rage incident. Pulls out a gun, shoots the kid. Can't even find the guy. I didn't hear anything about race involved. Who knows? But anyway, people are angry. You got a lot of criminals out. And look, it's true. If you're comfortable, Matthew, all he did was take a $63 set of sheets. What was Matthew Reed doing with a set of sheets that he was stealing? Let's start there. What was so imperative to Matthew that it's okay to steal sheets? What, did he have sheets to sleep on? Come on now. Sleep outside. Go do a little work. Whatever happened to sacrifice and perseverance and work? There's no jobs out there, right? We got to resort to stealing. I don't think so. Or should we just let them all out? No penalties at all. Nothing. All right, I'll let you decide on that one. A generation of seabirds wiped out by a drone. This is a tragic story. If you love the environment and you love animals the way I do, what were the birds? Seabirds. 2,000 elegant tern eggs were abandoned on a nesting island in Bolsa Chica Ecological Reserve in Huntington Beach after a drone crashed, scaring off the parents. And apparently a lot of people like to fly drones over this nature preserve. And when one crashed, it may wipe out these birds. It's that bad. So I just thought I'd mention, as I did, that I have a drone. I haven't really flown it yet. And I'm thinking about getting another one. But I'll get to it at some point. You know, I like playing around with different video stuff. I have a GoPro. I've done some stuff with my camera, kind of cool stuff, and I'm definitely going to mix in the drone down the road. I'm not in a real rush to do it. But, you know, you got to be responsible. That's part of the reason why I haven't jumped in it. You know, how do you respect people's property and the environment and things like airplanes? I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. It's just, I think we should think about this stuff. We're starting launching stuff around in the air. Here's an article from Yahoo News. Yahoo! How are they even still around? What does Yahoo do anymore? Is this nothing but a blog? Why the mask cultures may never end. You can have people cling to them. You know, a lot of people with what's the personality markers? You have the D, the DISC personality thing. Is that what I'm talking about? You got the D's. I'm a D. You got the I's. I might be part I. You got the S's and the C's. I don't know what they all mean, but I always look at the S's and the C's. I look at as like introverts, and the D's and the I's as extroverts. Am I saying that right? A little, having trouble with my words a little bit here still. But you understand what I'm saying. I don't know. It seems to me introverts like to have the mask on. They feel more comfortable. And I get it. So, you know, you don't want to talk to people. I think for women especially, it's like women at the gym, they're always wearing headphones. I wonder if they're even listening to anything. They just don't want to be bothered by the creepy guys in there. Can you blame them? I don't. And I think the same with the mask. You know, they just wear a mask so that nobody talks to them. You know, they can just run away scared, just stay away. Crazy, right? So many crazy people around. People would rather wear a mask than have to deal with the crazy people. So Google gets sued in France for something like $268 million, I guess. And this has to do with their advertising model. And I couldn't really understand exactly what was going on, but apparently they're going to make some changes to it. I've been critical of Google and Facebook. They use this auction for selling off ads. It runs up the prices, especially during peak times, cuts out the little guys. And this has always been a problem, even in the days of the phone book, right, where people would fight to be at the top of the list, you know, AAA Automotive and things like that. That's why they were named that, right? That name AAA was golden in the golden era of automobiles. Incredible that they got that top spot. It really was. Same kind of manipulation going on. But here's the point that I wanted to make about this relative to the discussion we started with about China. Look at what Facebook, Google, YouTube, I'm sure there's others, Twitter. Look at what they have done to impact the world. And, you know, we don't get to hear all the stories from around the world. But I know that the ones that I have, I don't think people in other places in the world are real happy about it either. At all. And it's really, at the end of the day, being forced upon us by money, driven by money. Politics isn't, and the government isn't driving Facebook and going. Now, granted, you know, you could argue that they, you know, have passed favorable regulation, agreed, and that there's been a lot of latitude given to these companies by our government. But just in this global context, here we are complaining, how dare the Chinese affect our films? Who do they think they are? Telling people to get out of our stadiums. Well, how do you think people across Europe felt when there was a Black Lives Matter protest because of the George Floyd thing? I don't want to be disrespectful there, the George Floyd murder. But why were there anti-police protests around the world? It was all because of propaganda coming from American social media companies, American news companies, causing unrest around the world. How do you think they feel about that? How do you think they feel about American free speech? The American big mouths, right? Can't even control your own cops. It's not enough that you're killing people in your own streets. Then you're going to come and broadcast that stuff around here. Imagine how those other countries feel about American influence. And now we're getting a little taste of our own medicine, as best as I can tell. The simple answer is, I don't watch that stuff. They're not making it for me. They want to make it for the world market. Look, it's junk. Tim, our friend Tim from Indiana asked a great question. He really make you think. He says, you know, if the government can just continue to print limitless amounts of money, why do we pay taxes in the first place? Well, because they keep printing money, it dilutes the value, which hurts everybody on some level. So, you know, they can't get too carried away. Well, the same thing's happening with movies and entertainment. It's all crap. The news is crap. The entertainment's crap. I mean, if you want cheap junk, that's why I don't shop at Walmart. It's all cheap Chinese junk. We're like bringing ourselves down to their level. Why would you do that? I've said this a million times. Since when do we follow what everybody else is doing? Doesn't make any sense to me. But I just wanted to make the point that before we go getting all fired up at the Chinese and talking about how evil they are, I do think there's a distinction in the way their government clamps down on the people. But I mean, look at what's happened. Go talk to people that were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. And tell me, and interview them and interview the Hong Kong protesters and tell me the difference. Not much, I can tell you that. Gluten. Number of children with celiac disease doubled. I didn't know a whole lot about this, but it can cause stomach pain, diarrhea, fatigue, bloating. found in bread, cakes, biscuits, pasta, some breakfast cereals. Can also cause blood diseases, fertility problems, osteoporosis. In children, it's been linked to poor growth, can delay puberty. Our study showed the prevalence of celiac disease in school children has doubled over the past 25 years. Well, I always am a little suspicious of this, too. What does that mean when they say doubled? Here you go. 1.6% of children had celiac disease, which is much higher than the global average of around 1%. That's significant. While 1% of the U.S. population of 3 million people have celiac disease, it's estimated that 90% of those cases are undiagnosed. I would imagine so. Carrying out screening programs in schools could avoid a lot of suffering. Here's the point I really wanted to make about this that I wanted to drive home on a couple of different fronts. A lot of the food that we eat is garbage, too. Mass production, feeding the world, globalization, mass farming, all these things have depleted the nutrients in our soils due to over-farming. You've got genetically modified crops, right? All these things are taking a toll on our bodies, our minds, and look at what's doing to our society. Yeah, sure, keeping people alive longer. People having a lot of children around the world. When you look at quality of life, what's it really doing? And the food that we eat plays a huge role in that. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and preach to you because, what is it, June 8th here, and 6 months and 5 days ago, I was 40-some pounds heavier than I am right now. I'd gotten out of shape, partly why I'm bringing it up. Many of you know the journey that I'm talking about. I feel great now. I'm down lower than I was when I got home from the Marine Corps. Not quite the same body composition, but at least my weight's down and I feel great for it. I actually didn't think I would get down this low. And, you know, I'm actually working now. I'm taking a little more off. I'm like, why not? I got a little belly fat. So here's my point I want to tie this into. Our friend Chris was showing me some fresh strawberries he picked. He was taking to his mother. I find that very admirable, taking fresh picked strawberries to his mother. I think that's pretty cool. But I'm going to tell you, I recommend not only do you look at your diet, but that you work on growing some of your own food. I think bringing back the idea of like a war garden or something like that? How about a patriot garden? I think it's time that we be able to sustain ourselves a little bit and provide some healthier eating. Hey, felt good to be back. I sure will be back tomorrow. I hope to see you there. Make it a great day.